we present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Hello and welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a listing from the Radio Times, read by Rory Morrison.
12:30, the government spending review. 3 p.m, put your money where your mouth is. 3:45, flog it. 4:30, pointless. 5:15, escape to the country.
And our thanks to everyone who sent that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Jeremy Hardy and Will Smith. And opposite them on my left, Susan Kalman and Rory Bremner. Jeremy, where can we say the axeman cometh?
It's the Conservatives and their unashamed Liberal buddies. The worst thing about the CSR announcement was the Tories' backbench reaction to it. Because I don't like to think badly of people just because I disagree with them, and I think that probably there was a time when some Conservatives were motivated by some sort of decency. And, you know, in wartime, for example, there was a coalition. We were all under Churchill. There was a coalition. We literally were all in it together. But in those days, at least the Tories knew not to cheer when it was announced that Coventry had been bombed. Yeah, it was absolutely hideous. And, you know, the Tories keep using this utterly spurious analogy of household expenditure that people seem to fall... Well, I suppose if you look at it like Britain was a household, we don't live like that. I mean, I am literally in debt to a building society for £200,000. Eventually they'll get it back. I don't know when. They don't really care because I'm paying the interest anyway. But eventually they'll get it back. But I don't suddenly arbitrarily decide, well, that's it. That's it, I'm in debt, £200,000, that's it. No more lavatory paper for me. That's it. I should just rub my arse on the wall from now on.
It's just an image that's going to stay with me for the rest of the...
They really made a fuss. It was weird. When he sat down, they were so affectionate, they were just patting him.
He was Clegg, loving it.
I couldn't decide whether he was more like a boy who'd just been up against a comprehensive in a school debating competition, yeah, or a six-year-old who's just successfully read a poem at his nan's funeral. They were just making such a fuss of him.
I kept thinking, because there is something just so sinister about George Osborne. He does have evil hair, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That I'm just convinced that under his shirt he's written the word sex chancellor in lipstick across his chest. He's just enjoying it too much.
The person I feel sorry for is Vince Cable. Do you remember Porridge? Do you remember the prison officer Barraclough?
Yeah.
That's Vince Cable. Well, I'd really rather you didn't cut child benefit, Fletcher, but if you absolutely have, I suppose it'll be all right.
Well, we'll all have to save money, but the BBC's going to have to save a fortune. So maybe we could, I don't know, divide jobs up between us, and Rory and I could do the one show.
Yeah.
Susan and Will on Strictly, and...
Oh, yes.
Jeremy could run a vacuum cleaner around the place. I don't know what you're going to do.
I just... When I watched Osborne doing his wee speech, from a performance point of view, it was a shame for him because he got that wee dry cough, didn't he, when he was... like that every time. I like to think that was kind of his conscience, but it probably wasn't. But he was trying to do it, and it was quite serious.
He'd swallowed a Lib Dem.
I think, yes.
Can I just say I meant that in a really nice way?
It's like the start of Alien when they've got something inside them, and eventually I was waiting for him to go that... No, when Weed Nick was sitting next to him, yeah, just nodding, kind of like, yes, yes, I totally agree. What have I done? I totally agree. And it was like, are you happy with your front seat now, Nick? Are you happy with where you are? Because essentially they're slashing. Everything must go, but you've got a right good seat at the front there, Nick. Good for you.
Because they are cutting public sector jobs that they think can't be justified. So Nick Clegg must be really very worried, don't you think? As Deputy Prime Minister.
There's some odd phrases, aren't there? Because instead of the education maintenance, the kids have been getting £30 a week to stay in school. They're going to get targeted support. Does that sound like if they play truant, they'll get shot?
And they always say the mess they inherited from the previous administration, don't they? So my daughter came home from school the other day. I said, why haven't you done your homework? And she said, it's because of the mess I inherited from the previous administration. Although, to be fair, we were told about this because when David Cameron at the election, he said, you want to vote for change, vote for change. And as soon as they come, he said, well, we voted for change, and the first thing we're going to change is everything we said before the election. About child benefit, about renewing Trident, we're going to change all that, and you voted for it. Well, no, sorry, you didn't. They haven't got a mandate, have they?
No, no one voted for this.
No, Clegg hasn't got a mandate. Cameron hasn't got a mandate. The only one had a mandate was William Hague, and absolutely nothing happened.
Nick Clegg's voice, is it difficult to do?
It's very difficult to do.
Because I find they're all slightly morphing one into the other.
I bumped into him the other day. He said, can you do me yet? I said, no, can you? The thing about Nick Clegg is he's rather like a strange cross between Piers Morgan and David Gower. They're all doing, even Ed Miliband, he just sounds a bit like Tony Blair with a cold. I mean, and the only thing about Ed Miliband was Neil Kinnock said, you know, in the leadership, he said, well, Ed has got the X factor. And you think everything is the X factor, is this vampire squid now that's wrapped around everything. And in a few years' time, we won't have a Speaker of the House of Commons. You'll just have Louis Walsh sitting there going, I love the speech. I absolutely loved it. Oh, what a great speech. You're going to go all the way. You've got the X factor. I'm going to vote for you. Absolutely great.
The Chancellor, George Osborne, has announced £81 billion worth of public spending cuts in his comprehensive spending review. The Tory plan is that David Cameron's big society will now step in. Obviously stepping quite high to avoid treading on the homeless, unemployed person sleeping in the doorway. 2 points to Jeremy. Will, who's up in arms about the cuts?
This would be the armed forces.
Oh, yes, indeed.
I believe. It's quite bizarre. It's very disorientating to find the Tories cutting the defence budget. It's like turning on Radio 1 and hearing Chris Moyle say, you, sir, are an ignorant homophobe. and it behoves me to donate my salary to the Terence Higgins Trust. So it's very strange, but they've cut the money. And we're in this bizarre situation where we're going to have aircraft carriers that don't have any planes. Maybe they're going to get Rod Hull's emu out and people can put that on and run around the deck or something. I don't know.
We're going to have aircraft carriers, but we're going to use American, French and German planes. We're going to be the military equivalent of a garage.
Also, though, they've said that if we are going to mount wars on the kind of level that we have been, we're going to have to do it in partnership with other countries like France, and that's going to be tough to rouse them, isn't it? Unless you tell them that the enemy said they're going to have to work a 6-day week or something like that.
If we've got to work with the French, if we want to, what if we want to fight France? Just do it during lunch.
No. Yeah. You've got that 5-hour window in the middle of the day.
Well, the thing about aircraft carriers without aircraft, I mean, it sounds ridiculous until you realise that the Ministry of Defence, it took them 4 months to work out that that was better than the alternative, which was to have aircraft with nowhere to land.
I don't think the Navy can ever have enough work surfaces because if you think about it, because they put too much stuff on ships. It's like when you get your kitchen done, you think, oh, look at all these lovely new surfaces. They're going to be useful, but then you put your kettle, plug that in, the toaster, juicer. Pretty soon you've got no work surfaces at all. That's the trouble with Harrier jump jets and that sort of malarkey.
The aircraft carrier thing, though, isn't it? Because there's two. They're called. Is it the Queen Elizabeth?
They're building two. They're going to sell one.
Yeah, and the Prince of Wales is the second one. They decided it's more expensive to scrap it than to keep it on. And there's a lovely kind of irony.
It's a sort of lovely symbolism.
And also, there's an MOD expression for something that's going to be mothballed, which is to be held in a state of extended readiness. I mean, I've been in that for 40 years. State of extended readiness.
But Hague actually said, this country faces no existential threat. And I thought, well, that's good. You don't want French philosophers coming here with their Gauloises and their berets, asking us difficult questions, and we just say, well, I don't know, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
But they said, because there was this scared that we wouldn't be able to go to war with anyone anymore, but they said, no, we can still go to war with people as long as, I think it was something like, as long as we're given reasonable warning, which I... I loved it. It's a much more polite age. Mm. Just someone phoning, I'm going, just to let you know, in a couple of months, we're considering invading Dover. Will you be ready? Just give us a second. We'll just try and rally the troops.
Hague did say, he said, well, you know, that we can't predict, because Eddie Mayer was giving a bit of a roasting. And he said, well, who are all these people going to have a war with? He said, well, you can't predict what might happen in the future. And you think, well, no, that's like saying, well, Godzilla might escape from Munster Island. And you think, well, look, the fact is, we had to give up the cavalry because it was getting silly. You know, bit by bit, it all becomes irrelevant. The thing is, you just got to know not to punch above your weight. I am quite small and asthmatic, and therefore I'm extremely careful not to get into fights with people. If I were to get into a fight with somebody, it would be a small child. And I would be heavily armed.
Could we not just privatise the army? Do you not think nothing would scare the Taliban more than a bunch of bored teenagers going, do you want bullets with that?
Shouldn't it rather be that because the Conservatives want the big society that we should all just form our own armies? That's what we
volunteer
should
armies!
Yeah, yeah, because I've got...
WI invading Kandahar!
I think the brownies would probably be better.
The brownies.
I think, being an ex-brownie myself, they were frightening human beings. I mean, I learned how to throw a knife at the brownies. Anyone else?
Thanks to severe cuts in the coalition government's strategic defence and security review, Britain's armed forces can no longer afford to go to war without the help of its allies. The Ark Royal has been immediately retired and now spends its days pottering to the shops at Eastbourne and reminiscing about how things were better during the war. 2 points to Will. Susan, have a listen to this. Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke. See, now, I've been told how to pronounce this, and I can't even remember. That was Gold Digger by Kanye West. Kanye.
Oh, that was beautiful. Kanye West, just take it round there for us.
What is it?
Kanye
West.
Kanye.
Keep up, Grandma.
Kanye West. OK. Susan, who's celebrating their prenuptials this week?
This was the case of the... I think he was an Italian man and a German woman who came to the English courts about a prenuptial agreement. And it's not law yet. We still need legislation. But essentially it's saying that in the future prenuptial agreements are going to be legally binding, which means... And I think they're fantastic things, just because before you enter the most romantic day of your life, essentially you're saying, right, I've got stuff... You've got nothing. You're going to try and take my stuff and I'm not going to let you. And that's essentially what it is. And what you can put anything you want into these prenuptial agreements. And the American ones are fantastic. There were some saying, you know, if the woman put on weight, she would have to pay money and there's, you know, all about that kind of stuff. And I think it'll be great here because if I was to get a prenuptial, I'd want something like the govern clause put in, which is like, I've got 8 cans of super in the fridge. And if we split up, you're no getting any of it, right? There was one in America where he was only allowed to go and watch one football match a month, and that was in the prenuptial agreement. It's just fun. Get drunk and draft it and then make them sign it. And then if they go, no, you're not allowed to watch The X Factor, you go,
Well, I liked the defence of the man in question, who's called Nicola Granatino, and his defence was that he didn't realise how rich his wife was when he signed the prenup.
She's worth £100 million, and he didn't realise, so that, you know, her house wasn't that special. I mean, I find it absolutely amazing because I've never dated anyone without running a full credit check beforehand. But I have stalked most of the people I've ended up seeing. I do like to know how someone breathes in their sleep before I enter into a relationship with them.
The Coalition did a prenup, actually. If it all goes terribly wrong, then the Conservatives have to keep Lembit Opic.
Susan,
yes,
given that you're familiar with Scottish law,
yes.
When people get married in this country, in England I'm talking about, it's obligatory that there is always a man in a kilt. You turn up at a wedding and you think, oh, there's just going to be a man in a kilt, isn't there? Because he's Scottish and he wants everybody to know he's Scottish, so he's going to wear a spurious 19th century invention of a folk costume. Because everybody else, all the other men have the decency to look like they're going for a job interview or that they're charged with something quite serious. You have to wear this flamboyant, cross-dressing, bizarre plaid frock and dagger. Now, I'm curious... At Scottish weddings, mm-hmm. is there always an Englishman in a beefeater costume?
Uh, The Supreme Court has ruled that a prenuptial agreement between German heiress Katrin Rademacher and her ex-husband Nicola Granatino is legally binding, meaning prenups could become the norm in England and Wales. Nicola Granatino, a banker and the son of a millionaire, signed a prenup saying he would not make any claim on Ms. Rademacher's £100 million fortune if they divorced, but then changed his mind when he realised he was a greedy bastard. 2 points to Susan. Rory, who's not in favour of vive la différence when la différence est deux ans?
Oh, this is the French.
Hey!
it's the national pastime, isn't it, in France? If you can't eat it, you protest about it. That's the general rule of thumb. And they're up in arms because they want to be able to retire at 36. Actually, if they could do that in Glasgow, they should link it to life expectancy, couldn't they?
But don't you love it? I love it. I love the French
like
energy.
The French, yeah.
I love the French. The only time we take to the streets in this country if there's a sale at John Lewis. This is a sort of... yeah.
Yeah, they are brilliant. They're slightly annoyed about something. They'll just block the Champs-Élysées with rotting creme brulee and flambé something, you know. Whereas in this country, really, it's something really terrible is that. You know, the police could be rounding us up and herding us into a football stadium. We just go, cool. Marvellous, isn't it, eh? Marvellous.
It must make Sarkozy think, I've got to push this through, because when you look at, you know, them on the streets, you know, barricading and fighting, he must think, the last thing I want is for these people to have more spare time. I mean, just keep them working. But I think maybe they want to stop working earlier, because retirement's good in France, whereas here we don't really mind. It's probably better to keep working than just think, what can I do? Go around some National Trust gardens in the rain, maybe go to a Michael Ball concert, that's it, isn't it?
They're saying that France has got enough power left for just 90 days, which is about a month more than Nick Clegg.
If there's no more petrol, they won't be able to burn any more cars.
I wish I spoke French, understood it properly, because I'm sure they do a kind of commentary in their writing, saying, well, it's very important that they bring the car to exactly the right temperature, so what I'm doing, I'm lighting this rag in this bottle full of petrol, and I'm just going to just toss it lightly. You don't have to use too much. Don't overdo the petrol. You don't use too much. It will swamp the rag, you see. Just a soupçon of petrol, and it will ignite. It will burn at a lovely temperature, raising the temperature of the car until it combusts and have a lovely black crust on it, which you serve 4 or 5 people.
I just say, I admire the fact that I think there was meant to be 3 million people on the streets, and 100,000 of them were school children, sixth formers, who go and protest on the streets about all these kind of things, and they're supported by their parents. And I just think, in order to get 100,000 of our sixth formers out in the streets, you just have to line the streets with vodka and Red Bull or something. I mean, in this country in the past few weeks, the thing that's made the public most angry was Gamu not getting into the X Factor. And you think perhaps if the public got more excited and passionate about things that really mattered, perhaps we might not be in the state we're in. Just a thought, that's all.
Well, just a thought. I have been supporting the French strikers in my own way all week. I've not eaten any horse. Now... Over 1 million French men and women took to the streets this week to protest against the retirement age being raised from 60 to 62. The strikes have now spread across Europe, with no travel on Eurostar services available between London and Belgium. I didn't know that. We can't get to Belgium. Oh, will this misery never end? Tiny spot of acting for you. No, at the end of round one, the scores are Jeremy and Will have got 4 points, but so too have Susan and Rory. We start round two with a cutting from the Daily Express.
An enzyme-blocking drug has been shown to improve the memory of elderly men. Scientists now hope the drug could work just as well on humans.
And our thanks to Alan and Jean Ashdown for sending us that. Will, why are there more reasons to study at Morrison's?
Morrison's are going to sponsor degrees for students, so they will pay your fees. You have to go and work in Morrison's for half the time. Hey! And then you get a degree, and you have to work for them for 3 years afterwards. And the degree, I think, is in the, not very enticing-sounding, food manufacturing. Just sounds grim, doesn't it? You went round for somebody's house for dinner, and they said, make yourself comfortable, I'm just off to manufacture some food.
It's like, it's an open sandwich course.
Hey! You'd want to check the small print on this agreement, though, wouldn't you? Wouldn't want it. If it says, you know, if you get less than a 2-1, they make you into a no-frills pork pie. You want to just be... It's quite the thing, though, isn't it?
Sponsored degrees, yeah.
But you can only do Morrison studies, basically. You can't do anything important like history and politics, which is what I did. You,
Do you get a BA?
No, you get cash back.
Presumably you get an MA if you bring your own bags.
If you get a degree at M&S, you can take it back and change it.
You can probably get an ASBO from Lidl, can't you?
If you're tied into this company, so it's Morrison's, I've got a degree in Morrison's and I can work in Morrison's and I can use the self-service checkouts, because that's quite difficult, I think you'll all agree. I've had many a difficult hour with unexpected items in my bagging area. And it happened to me the other day, and it went, unexpected item in the bagging area, and I spoke to the young boy that was working and said, oh, is it Lord Lucan? And blank, nothing. There was nothing. Shergar didn't go down well either, so...
But, you know, he hadn't graduated yet.
Yeah, it's just, because there's this debate about whether or not the private sector should help out with education or whether it should be publicly funded. Now, when I was at university, the main sponsorship, it was the army. And it was really difficult because you meet people at the age of 17 who'd signed up. And I'd go, you do realise you have to join the army? They went, what?
What university did you go to? It just doesn't sound like a very high level of...
It's a McDonald's just off the M8. So, yes, at least they get a job at the end of it. I mean, I think that's the positive thing about it.
And they make it easy for you to do it, because you can apply for the course at the supermarket. I mean, I think it still counts as one of your 5 items or less, but I think it's...
I was turned down for a job at a supermarket because I couldn't reach the 3rd or 4th shelves. And I said I would take a wee stool with me and stand on it, but they said that I was a health and safety risk. I didn't want it. Do you know what I mean?
If you can't reach certain things on supermarket shelves, which mean that you can't work in a supermarket, it also follows that your diet is very restricted because anything above a certain height, you don't ever get to eat.
No, what I do is I go into the same supermarket all the time because I can go in my pyjamas because they know me. And what I do is there's a wee boy called Mark and he follows me around and he gets the stuff off the top shelf for me.
Is this the Scottish version of Ocado? Morrison's has announced it will fund 20 undergraduates a year through a degree in food manufacturing as companies increasingly offer to sponsor education. Tuition fees would be £3,290 a year or £4,000 for organic. 2 points to Will. Susan, whose attempted hoax blew up in his face?
Oh, yes, this was a young gentleman who pulled out a hilarious prank. It was a guy called Andre Lake and he worked in the Youth Justice Office. He'd only been there for about 4 months. And his explanation for what he did was that he wasn't really enjoying his job and he didn't have any more annual leave and he wanted to go home early. So what he did was he phoned up and said there was a bomb. And he phoned twice. He phoned in the morning about kind of 7:20 in the morning and said there's a bomb. Now, no one did anything, obviously. This is what I love about the story, because he had to phone up again just after 8, pretending to be the head of security, go, no, there's definitely a bomb here. Now, what I love about it is that I would have thought they would have been evacuated between 7:20 and 8:20, but apparently not. He must have been like that. Oh, come on, I've said there's a bomb. Come on.
Well, it was the Ministry of Justice.
The Ministry of Justice.
You'd think that somebody... Oh, there's a bomb about to go off. I'll put that on my to-do list.
So he said he was the head of security, and then in the same... So he phoned 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 3 o'clock. They found him because he'd phoned from his office.
How do you phone in a bomb threat these days? Because all you get is automatic switchboards. Press 1 for a bomb threat. Press 2 for bioterror. I mean,
also, I mean, he's phoned at 7:20 and 8:15. How early do you want to finish work, for heaven's sake? Also, he said it's head of security at the Justice Ministry. I thought that was Ken Clark was the head of the Justice Ministry. So you could ring him. There's always bomb in the Justice Department. Great image of Ken Clark as a shoe bomber. So you have to stick a bomb into a hushed puppy. A bit of a stealth bomb.
Civil servant Andre Lake this week admitted phoning in a bomb threat to his employers at the Ministry of Justice. Lake said he made the call because he didn't enjoy his job and wanted to leave work early. Ministry of Justice bosses first became suspicious when they realised that terrorists don't normally have their own extension number. In his defence, Lake's lawyer said there had been no complaints about his work, missing out the words apart from the way he kept making bomb threats. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Mr. Hardy.
This was sent in by Richard Armstead from Bognor Regis, and it's from Practical Classics, which is a car magazine, and it's from the letters page. I am pleased you showed an interest in my Bristols. My late husband used to love messing around with them. Sadly, I'm unable to give you permission to publish the photographs I sent you, as since my husband passed away, I no longer know who owns them and would not wish to run foul of privacy laws. It's just funny because it says Bristols.
Mr. Smith.
I don't know who sent this in, but it is from the Chicago Breaking News Centre, and says, Chicago election officials say crews will work overtime to reprogram thousands of electronic voting machines that mistakenly list a gubernatorial candidate's name as Rich Whitey instead of Rich Whitney.
Ms. Kelman.
This is from Jamie Johnston from Bath, who spotted this in the Sky programme guide information, and it's an unusual choice of comedian on the bill on this programme. At London's legendary comedy store tonight, Alan Cochrane on modern technology, Zoe Lyons on vegans, Sean Walsh on Brighton, Jack Whitehall on the royal family, and Robert Mugabe. Just got wee Bobby Mugabe doing a tight five for us tonight.
Mr. Bremner.
This is sent in by Martin Pilkington, and taking up the police theme. Do you remember a week or two ago, the Greater Manchester Police decided they were going to put all of their details on Twitter of everything that happened that day. And here we have on Twitter, call 384, report of man holding baby over bridge. Police immediately attended, and it was a man carrying a dog that doesn't like bridges.
Look at the final score. Jeremy and Will have got 12 points, but this week's winners are Susan and Rory with 13. Before we leave you, here is a classifieds ad spotted by Mark Woolcock in the West Britain.
Grey-faced Dartmoor lambs for sale. Beautiful faces and very good temperaments. Would make lovely pets or pies.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Jeremy Hardy, Will Smith, Susan Kalman and Rory Bremner. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Rory Morrison. The chair script was written by Simon Littlefield, Lucy Clark and Rodney Crooks, with additional material by Dale Shaw, James Kettle and John Hunter. The producer was Sam Bryant.